The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ian Strafford-Taylor, CEO, and Richard Cooper, CFO of Equals Group, the EQLS ticker. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Justin.
Now, you've released your interim results, and we're going to dig into that and see what's happening there and just look at the last 6 months up until the 30th of June. Before we do, Ian, you used to come on the podcast regular. Must have been a couple of years ago, but different name. The company's changed. So explain, if you could, Equals Group. What is it all about?
Yes, absolutely. We've completely changed the company in many ways. When we last spoke, it was a couple of years ago. It was very much what we call B2C or retail consumer focused, built around a travel money card, doing FX as a consequence of acquiring those customers. Mm-hmm. And we recognized back then that we had to evolve and move into the B2B space, so dealing with corporate customers rather than retail as our focus. So that's what we've been doing over the last couple of years, and the name change fits in with that. But FairFX, which we still use as a brand name on the retail side.
Yeah.
FairFX was known as what I just described, and Equals is the B2B iteration of that business. So what we have now effectively is integrated currency solutions for SMEs. SMEs are our target, but built on bank-grade infrastructure. So we are literally have better infrastructure than most banks in terms of clearing payments. So when you put that foreign currency expertise and together with that settlement capability, you've got something quite unique.
Yeah. So explain why you went to B2B and why you focus on that sector now.
In some ways, due to competition, we pioneered the concept of using a travel money type vehicle for acquiring customers to sell other things. And then you got some competitors, Monzo, Revolut, people like that, that were took it to the next extreme. They would offer it for nothing to acquire customers. Mm. And with our ownership base, we simply can't compete with that type of pricing. So we had to move to another sector.
Yeah. But competitiveness, will that follow you into the B2B, or is there more barrier entry to there?
For sure, there's going to be more competition. But we have a lot of advantages, not even if you have unlimited funds, to assemble what we've assembled in terms of clearance capabilities takes time. Time is the real barrier. It will take you a couple of years to get to where we are in terms of direct interface to the Bank of England, clearance accounts there, and settlement capability faster payments.
Okay, and so in fact, while you clear your throat there, Ian, we'll talk to Richard. So Richard, you can take us through the figures, of course. This is for the 6 months ended the 30th of June. Of course, we've gone through that awful period where everyone was in lockdown and pretty much a lot of businesses just stopped. So take us through some of the figures, if you could, Richard.
Of course. Well, I'll just start with a little bit of a history lesson. So in the first half of 2019, the business was doing, 13.6 million of revenue, 8.3 of gross profit, and adjusted EBITDA of just under 2 million, but with some quite lumpy IT rebuild costs and other things that were costing us about 4.4 million. Mm. We did some acquisitions in the international payment space the beginning and mid of the second half, and that drove our revenue up to 17.4 million with a higher gross profit and a decent adjusted EBITDA, but also with some exceptionals and capitalization. And the capitalization really reflects the rebuild that took place, which has positioned ourselves for so much better for this year. So there was 8 million spent last year on capitalization and, 3.9 million on various management exceptionals, including the rebranding. Mm. So taking us through now to the first half of this year, despite the COVID headwinds, we did 13.8 million of revenue, so higher than last year. The mix has obviously changed. International payments last year was 4.8 million. This year is 8.2 million. It's a, you know, a very, very good margin. 76% of the international payments business is B2B. And therefore, we have really pivoted away from being a travel money business. You know, a year or so ago, I think we would have had something like 50% being travel money. Now it's less than 15% exposed to travel money. And the bulk of our international payment customers are entrepreneurial businesses. So, you know, we are the same. We feel we can talk the same language to those businesses as well. So when... before COVID hit, we were doing something like 156,000 revenue a day. We were obviously hit badly with COVID, like most other people. It dropped about 93K a day in the second quarter. It's bounced back to around 114K a day now. And in the tail end of last year, the fourth quarter of last year, we did 132K per quarter. So that just goes to show what we can do. And what we are anticipating doing. Our cost base is remarkably simple in a way. We have staff. We had at our height 337 staff. We've now got a run rate in sight of 280, and it may go down lower. Staff cost represents around 80% of our cost base. We have some properties. We've got IT spend naturally. We've got professional fees, and we've got a little bit of travel and entertainment. So it's a pretty simple P&L in a way. The gross profit margins are a very, very important guide, however, to our success. We make plus 63% gross profit margin across all our business lines. Banking and international payments are better in terms of their gross profit. You know, banking, not least because it has a lower cost base because it's based up in Chester, and that's clearly what we look for and look to try and optimize those gross profits. The bulk of the cost between the revenue and gross profit is either affiliate marketing or commission payments, the dealers here and their cohort of fellow staff are on a sales commission. You know, eat what you kill. And that means that it is really quite capital light, that bit of the business.
Yeah. Well, to say that, I mean, probably one for you, Ian, but so how do you acquire your clients, your customers, and what differentiates you from the competitors then?
Good question. And in fact, part of what we announced in this statement was much more focus on the sales side of the equation. First of all, you have to have products that you can sell. And second of all, you need to get them into the hands of customers. And historically, on the retail side, you know, we used marketing, TV ads, and that sort of thing. To acquire business customers is completely different. We have a far clearer defined sales strategy now. We've attended to every bit of the funnel, if you will. So right from lead sourcing through conversion, onboarding, to smooth out, you know, reduce a bit of friction each bit of that, then you acquire more customers and you'll convert more of them through the funnel. Mm. Key to that is a better CRM system. So we're in the process of putting in a much better one. Historically, we've recorded details of customers we've added, but less details about customers we didn't add and the reasons why. And actually, that's in some ways more important information because it informs what you need to build, what you need to change. So literally you're getting from customers that you don't win what you need to build in order to win them. That's all driven around data. So data is, we've built up a far better data team than we had. The initial focus of our data team was more on the financial reporting side of it. It's now firmly pointed towards that whole discipline of sales and marketing. And so some of it is outbound sales. Some of it, which is alluded to, will be affiliates and affiliate marketing. You can get it. Our target customer is basically the CFO or financial controller or MD of an SME that has currency exposure, typically between 50 and 500 employees. That's our sweet spot. That's what we build stuff for. and that's where we're targeting to get into. Why people would use us rather than anyone else? And let's remember, the business in this space still sits with the banks. Let's not forget that. That's, we need to win business off banks. Banks don't look after SMEs well at all. I think we all know that. they'll use us because we can combine fantastic platforms, self-serve, you know, do it yourself platforms for foreign exchange with numerous solutions within it, with this bank grade settlement capability and bank grade current account capabilities. Very few people can do that. Banks have that, but they don't serve it up in a very user-friendly way. So we believe we have a unique proposition in that space. So hence why we'll go at it hard.
Yeah. And, you know, COVID, not with COVID standing here, because we don't know when. I've heard several people say, you know, vaccine's going to be here in the next month, before the end of the year, for vulnerable groups, whatever. So we don't know when it'll get back to the normal, or the normal that we know it, or new normal. But so what kind of...
Justin, I think that's a good point, in that what markets hate, and so do businesses. You know, forget the, you know, FX markets for a minute. Businesses hate uncertainty. Yeah. And, you know, we have had in the UK over the last 4 years a load of uncertainty over Brexit, so which didn't help. In theory, we had certainty in December of last year, and it's no coincidence we had a massive month in December, you know, after the election. And then now we've got two lots of uncertainty. And then once we get clarity on either or both, things will pick up rapidly. And for now, if you can delay a decision, delay a payment, whatever, as a business, you're going to delay it. So there's not as much activity is suppressed.
Yeah.
So we're sort of, you know, I can see a real big tick up in business as soon as we get more clarity on both those issues.
Yeah. And do you dare, you know, set any sort of operational or financial goals yet?
We do internally, obviously. Mm. We're treading a delicate line. What we don't want to do is come out with some numbers. Yeah. And then miss them,
yeah,
even if it's not our fault because of macroeconomic events. So we're being cautious on that score. We obviously have various scenarios planned out. Myself and Richard have, you know, forecasts out to 2022, but we don't want to share those right now because you just can't be sure. So what we are doing, and hopefully investors and potential investors are seeing this, in the RNS, and everything that we do is providing way more transparency financially, way more disclosure, a very clean, understandable set of accounts. And the RNS for an interim statement was very long, deliberately so, to provide that sort of increased window into what we're doing so people can draw their own conclusions, and their own conclusions are pretty sensible.
Yeah.
So that's how we're doing it for now. If everyone in the market starts producing guidance, and that's what we need to do, we can do it literally in 24 hours. It's not hard because we're doing all that work, as you might expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, we have a laser-like focus on two particular things. The first is product robustness and ease of use for our customers. And the second is cash break even, which is highly unlikely, or not highly unlikely, highly unusual for a fintech.
Yeah.
You know, we want to stand on our own two feet, which we are doing, and that we think will make us a much more valuable proposition.
Excellent stuff. Okay. Well, listen, guys, every day on the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on the Vox platform. To get on that list, of course, people have to hit that follow button and add you to their watch list because they're liking what you say, or, you know, doing more research, or even investing in you. So if, you know, to get on that list, please give us now, Ian, if you could, three reasons why someone should add you to their watch list, please.
I love it when Justin does this, you know, out of nowhere. First, we are in a fantastic space. You know, this is a space that is enormous, that is growing. So fintech, fine, that's, you know, it's a big category. But B2B, the business segment of international payments, is a fast-growing space, and there is business to be had, massive amounts of business. And we have a unique skill set, or product set, I should say, in terms of, as I said, combining FX with bank grade current account functionality. and no one else has it. And you'll see more of this from us over the next few months in terms of not just direct market penetration, but also providing our infrastructure to other financial institutions. So not only can we access directly, but we can do it through other financial businesses, even banks. And secondly, as Richard just alluded to, you know, we are all over the cost side of this business. You know, we've got a lean business now that's fit for purpose, even in these difficult times. Richard and I go through the headcount religiously every single month with every single exec member. We've got a very, very strong control of cash as a consequence. And that's the last reason, is that as we sit here now, despite what people may have predicted, you know, we've got more than enough cash. It's not like we need to tap the market for business as usual. We're self-sufficient and can throw the worst of what Brexit and COVID-19 has been throwing at us. So, you know, we're in a very, very good place and the perfect time for people to get on board.
Excellent stuff. Ian, Richard, thanks for coming on the podcast. Hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.